And welcome back, everyone, to Learn to Unlearn. This is Luca Maino. We are back right after this short music piece that I love so much. I'm loving it more and more every time. Okay, strings, please. And strings accentuate. And bring her home. And cut. Cute. I love doing that. I like that song more and more now. I don't know why. It's just, it's a good feel. I love the groove. And I was kind of feeling good when I wrote it. This is Luca Maino. We are back. And I am back with the best producer in the whole wide world. Hello, Steve. How are you doing?
Hello, sore and tired and stiff, yeah. But I'm here.
Actually, I caught you in the chat earlier, and we're going to get to that in a second. I want to say hello to Annie also and everybody in the chat, everybody that's making my day just a little brighter than it was a minute ago. Woohoo! Back home again. You know, Steve said he was tired, weary, and broke. Maybe we should start with that. Why not? Okay. This is to tell you that I could not be structured. You know what I mean? I do not like being structured and put into walls and saying, this is what we were talking about, and that's it. I do not do that. I do not work like that. So, tired. Yes, I'm exhausted. Okay. I'm tired, personally, of fighting wars that are not mine. I'm tired of being on the same routine all the time because the government only gives you enough money as they know you're going to go to buy food at this place. You're going to buy gas at this place. You're going to, you know, they know exactly how much you need month by month, and you're broke around the 20th or the 25th. And 15 minutes after you're getting paid, you're broke again. I'm tired. I'm tired of the cycle. So I am researching more. I'm burying myself into what I believe in more, and we're going to get into that in the first segment because it's sacred. It's come to the point now where it's sacred. I'm sorry, there's nothing else that matters. As you know, my family is no longer around, so I'm by myself, you know, with my radio shows, and it's a blessing to have you as a family. It's a blessing to have you open, and I'm going to be thanking you in a minute as well. But weary, yes. I talked about tired. Okay. I did talk about broke too, but weary. Wow. Weary. Yes. You know, as we're going to mention as well in the whistleblowing segment, I'm going to talk about Justin Leslie. And I gave you the link in the chat above if you want to scroll up to that BitChute link that I gave you. It's an extraordinary 2-hour video that he made after he worked for Pfizer at the tender young age of 23. And his story, see, and he's a whistleblower, okay? He's a whistleblower. Now he's in trouble. And he also exposes James O'Keefe. It's very interesting. He does it very politely, too. So you get to see a lot of the internal workings of FBI, CIA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as I'm doing, waking up people in the ADL and the Jewish lobby, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for what I'm unearthing. Thanks to everyone here that I thank from the bottom of my heart for being able to entertain and to listen to and to welcome. As far as subjects go, it's incredible where I'm at right now. So, yeah, I'm weary of everybody. I brought up Justin Leslie because he says, you can't trust anybody. You can't trust anybody. Isn't it funny that in the 1800s, early on, Geronimo's father told him, your two legs, Geronimo, your two legs, Goyathle, his name was. Your two legs, the only thing you can trust in your life are your two legs. Run. Learn to run and run some more. Okay? And I'm not forgetting, Annie. I'm not forgetting. We have to ask you for help also, because for that price of a Starbucks coffee, you could actually reassure yourself and everybody else that we are going to have this network to lean on. $5 a month is pretty well, you know, $5 for a Starbucks. Okay. So I'm putting in probably 20 a month as far as I can get. Is when I can settle myself into that. It's going to be 10 or 15 or 20 or something along those lines a month, so that it's repetitious, so that it's every month and the station can handle it and know it's coming, so we can budget that way. So we're asking people to help out personally. If you can dig deep in your pockets, if it means to you, if it means something to you, and the content of where we're at means something to us, you know, and I have a show on here, and there's nothing more honorable for me than to be able to pay for it to stay on. Exactly. That's the way we should be. Okay. So it's our web space. That's the most important thing. It's to keep it up and running. And it's, it's in Rick's legacy. It's Rick's name, and it's Annie doing the work, and we really hand it to her. And that's a part of the family. You know, we all have to pull our weight. So can I start with a wink wink first before we dive into something difficult? And it's going to be an honor for the family, because the family here at Shake and Wake, you'll never know as a drummer, okay? As a drummer, you'll never know the feeling. What's the first thing you hear about the drummer, okay? There's always an unstable drum throne, okay? It's always, trust me, it's always been a drum thrown with two legs, and it's wiggly, right? It's wiggly, it's washy. It you can't even, okay, you have to get used to that, okay? That's how I learned for like 15, 20 years or more, okay? Until the day you have $400 all of a sudden, and something tells you, Luca, buy that Gibraltar. That what? Four-legged, double brace on each leg, hydraulic seat with a Harley seat on it. You have no idea. I was so upset the first time I sat down and played the drums on that, because it's a ripoff. You feel ripped off all that time. You're sitting there trying to balance yourself and all the time you're trying to balance yourself, right? And you can't. And you can't really give yourself 100% to what you're doing, to the song, to the feel, to the people around you, to the audience in front of you, right? Okay? Because you're scared to death you're going to fall. You're on this stool all of a sudden that's like so sturdy, you're the one that's not at ease. You're the one that's going, whoa, you know, because it's so sturdy. And it's a motorcycle seat with that little indent for the two legs. It's just incredible. No backrest. No. Because then you can really fly and do stuff, and you can turn. It's hydraulic, so you're bouncing. It's heaven, okay? And then I have my headset now, the MDR V7 that I always talk about. That's a dream in itself, wanting to do a show like that with a microphone in front of you. So just like with my drum set, just like on stage, you're well-seated, you're well-equipped, and you're getting the experience of your life, okay? And this is how I feel with my family at Shake and Wake. I'm sitting here. I have the right space. I have the right headset. I'm sitting in that's a Walmart chair that was $30, but it's doing great. I got to hand it to it. But, you know, I'm really thankful for what I have. And I'm not playing drums yet, but I sure am doing what I'm doing to the best of my ability. And it's thanks to everybody here that I'm doing it. So there. It took a little longer to say that, but I wanted you to know that. That's very important. Okay, so let's dive in. We have news. But first, because I kind of gave you a little wink-wink on how I felt about hurt and weary and tired, because I'm fighting all the time. I'm fighting against losing myself and joining everybody else, okay, or staying to myself, alienating myself, because nobody really cares about how you live and what you think or what, because that's what happens. See, and Joanna Bernard said it a few weeks back when I shared what she said. And you know what? We're going to start there, because I want you to hear it from her. And Steve can watch it with me on the screen. Very important message, and it's really, really short.
I honestly believe that I'm connected with the earth and to protect as the land. This Mother Earth belongs to all of us, and we all have to do our part in caring for it. And when it comes to the culture in Madawaska, we don't have one person, not one person left that speaks the language.
Yeah.
And the culture, because we have, we sacrificed. Either you keep remote and keep your culture, or you be part of the whole. Yeah. And being in the community of Edmundston, we've chose to integrate and be part of that. So we pay the price today. We don't have our culture. It's gone.
Yeah.
We do everything that we can to keep it alive. I mean, we have a craft store here, mm-hmm. that doesn't make any money, because you can never make the money that you put into that work. But I keep it because it's part of the culture. We're trying in every way we can. And of course, with the language, there's not one person in my community that speaks Maliseet. And every time I speak of it, it hurts my heart, because there's nothing I can do.
See, there's nothing she can do, but there is. And you know what? I'm going to call her. I'm going to call her and tell her. I think I'm going to call her in a good way and say, you know what? I honored you on my show several times. And B, if I get to talk to her, I'm going to tell her exactly this, that I honor her and her words, and there are things that we can do to keep culture alive. Yes, oral tradition has to be kept alive anyway, orally. You don't have the right to write it down. The elders will not allow it. Remember I told you I got that piece of paper ripped up when I wrote my notes before a 5-minute speech? He comes up right before the speech and rips it up, and he points to my head. He said, your notes come from there. And he points to my heart, and he says, you have to talk from there, not from the notes. Okay, so you can, if you live, you decide. See, there you go again. We decide. It's a sacred choice ourselves. When the minute our feet hit the floor every day, how are we going to live? Well, we're going to live the proper way. I'm going to live with my truths that I have uncovered in my life, even though 99% I'm for it. They don't care. Look, that's 80 years ago. Grow up. You know what I mean? No, because I know in my shows, Learn to Unlearn, and the other one, Luca's World, that it's all about unearthing the lies that we have been told so we can make sense of what's going on today. It's literally because of what they got away with World War II, that they could do 9/11 and then do 7 countries in 5 years. Hello? Okay? It's all related. People just don't want to go back far enough, right? And we have been privy to what we've been listening to for the last 2 weeks, and you have allowed it. And it's because of that that we are, you know, I'm honored to close this segment this hour so that we can move on. Hello, Moon. Girl of the Moon joins us. Good to see you. And let's start with some news clips first, because I have something really important from May 27th of this year that I want to share first. And we'll slowly get into the World War II segment so I can close that off. But first, we have two very important clips. One, the first one, Roger Landry also discussed it with Steve on the last show, because it was so pertinent. And I'm glad to say that, yes, I did listen to it, and I have my own spin. I'd rather let you listen to the clips, because I've set up my show for other things, but it's really important for us to understand what. It's not Biden either. It's what Biden is being told to do and to say and to sign by the people, his handlers, okay? But on May 27th, there's plans on fully ceding the sovereignty of the United States to the WHO. And I sent you the link. You know what? I'll paste it again just because I'm talking about it now. And I'll go to the chat and paste it, and Let's have a listen to it, because he talks about, the clip talks about May 27th, and then I'll stop it because we're going to talk about 15-minute cities as well after that.
May 27th, just a few weeks away, may be more important to American history than July 4th. Take a listen.
I'm Reggie Littlejohn, co-founder of the Sovereignty Coalition and founder of the Anti-Globalist International Organization. The two treaties that are going to be voted on in May 27th of this year, just a few weeks from now, are the greatest threat to freedom that the world has ever faced. Public health is being used as a tool for total control. This is not a public health issue. It's an instrument to introduce Chinese-style totalitarianism to the United States and to the world. Now, the international health regulations, if WHO gets what it wants, they will be able to mandate vaccines, mandate masks, mandate lockdowns, and mandate quarantines in the United States and all over the world. Also, they will be able to mandate that the governments of the world surveil and censor their citizens, no doubt through mandatory digital IDs, which can be used as the basis of a China social credit system style rule of totalitarian control.
Okay, let's stop it there, because that's where the 15-minute cities are going to start. But I just want to stop you for a minute. So there's one central point that's having other countries sign, right? So that one central point can be in complete control of us forever and ever. That means masks, as you heard. That means, you know, if you don't say yes, you don't get to eat. If you don't wear a mask, or you're not told to have it, you don't get the vaccine like you're told, and you don't wear the mask like you're told, they won't serve you food, okay? That's where this is going. So they can tighten their grip on us if we allow it. Of course, all this stops when we say no, but that's irrelevant, right? Nobody's, you know, you have to educate people first before they get upset enough.
Hey, Luca.
To really react, yes.
I'm going to send you something in Skype there. I think it was either today or yesterday. At least 49 senators have told them to go pound sand. I just sent it to your Skype.
Okay, good. Okay.
It's good. Got a long video in there, but, you know, if you want to read it or whatever.
Yeah, see, this is what I mean. Steve sends me stuff. I send him stuff. I dissect it to the way I see it. He dissects whatever I send him. This is what we do. This is what we have to do, okay? I want to make people – I want to show you the connection here, because I see it. Tell me I'm full of it if I am, but I don't think I am, okay? That central point tells all those countries what to do. They all agree, okay? That central point told – those countries involved in the lies that they were going to tell us about the Holocaust to all agree, okay? Every single country that was involved in the Holocaust was told, okay, this is the lie we're going to say. This is the lie we're going to tell. This is the lie the church is going to push. And there's no arguing with it. There's no talking, okay? Same thing for COVID. Please, same thing for COVID. The central point tells every single government of every single country involved, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have event 301, okay? You know, you saw the plan as much as I did. You people probably know about the plan better than I do. Meanwhile, should we start the clip? Should we? Yes, I think we'll continue with the 15-minute cities, because you can't get better than a London mayor telling you what he thinks.
Joe Biden is expected to sign this WEF agreement that signs over our sovereignty to this unelected international group.
From the mayor of London, he describes very point blankly now what a 15-minute city actually is. Take a listen.
It is something that the WEF has created called C40, and it's called C40 Cities. I would urge you to certainly look on the internet about it, and then go to all of the TikTokers and see what they're really, really saying. Basically, you won't be able to drive a petrol or diesel car anymore. You'll have to buy electric. If you want food, you will get a calorie-controlled system sent to you by text saying, this is what you can eat today. This is what you can have today. If you violate any of these things, they'll freeze your bank account. That is the next step. These are stages in which they're going to implement this stuff. And this was signed up by the WEF, and the WEF has signed up with our mayor in London as the chair, and he has gone around the world to communicate this C40 to all of the countries in the world. And most of the countries are looking at adopting it. Now, I am going to abolish it. It is a hopeless position. We are going to be in an open prison, or shall we say a COVID, for the rest of our lives. We will not be able to work unless it's in our 15-minute city. It's diabolical. It's not a right.
You get it now? May 27th is far more important than July 4th. July 4th guaranteed our freedoms. May 27th does just the opposite.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we've been talking about it. You can't tell people what to do. You can't force people to do. My apologies also if you've heard it before, which you have. But I had to play it again because it's, you know, it was on my mind and it's timely. And I've said it also. I had to play it. Also, we have Catherine Austin Fitz that a lot of you probably know already. And she talks about the control that they're going to have. And it's just another refresher. Even if you know about it, please talk to us about it. Okay. Talk to everybody about it.
Here's what you need to understand. One of the reasons I'm working and I'm so committed to preventing financial transaction control is that is what they are planning on to feed you synthetic lab-grown meat. No one in their right mind would ever eat this stuff. But the reality is what they're hoping is that you know, once they have control of your transactions, they can dictate your health policies and they can dictate what food you can and cannot buy. So if they don't want you buying pizza, you can't buy pizza. If they want you to buy pizza made with insect-based flour, that's what you're going to get. That's one of the reasons they want this kind of control. And remember, you had John Kerry saying, you know, we ought to get rid of all the farmers. They're literally planning on getting rid of all the farmers and instituting, you know, food created synthetically in manufacturing laboratories.
I think you're muted.
Oh, look at that. You were right. I was muted. Look at that, because I didn't want to make any noise while I was coughing. See, thank you, Steve. That's what a producer does, right? But first, in order to take over the food supply, what do you have to do? Buy as much farmland as you can, and then they're going to turn it AI.
You have to read it. And one of the reasons you have to read it is the reason to stop them from putting your farmers and fishermen out of business and pushing them off their land is if they succeed in doing that, you and I will be eating lab-grown meat. That's their plan.
But not for people like that goober John Kerry and for the World Economic Forum.
No, they'll be flying around
in a bikini on the beach.
Right, they'll be flying around on jets,
eating good food. Somewhere they'll have it secretly, so they could get good, you know, ribeye steaks and good, you know, filet mignons and great, you know, clean food and don't have to take the vaccine because, you know, they're special.
We're saying the same thing. That's Greg Hunter, that Catherine Austin Fitz was interviewed on. So like we're getting the picture, okay? And then guess what clip drops in my lap from I'm not sure how long ago. I mean, a year or two ago, I'm not really – well, he said, well, have a listen to it, and then you guys and girls can tell me what you think, because this is all relevant. This is why I'm doing it this way.
I think that it's really a fulfillment of a dream that we had together with my leadership team when we started in 19. The first week we met in January of 19 in California and to set up the goals for the next 5 years, and one of them was by 2023, we will reduce the number of people in the world by 50%. I think today, this dream is becoming a reality.
So it's really a purpose-driven company.
Okay, did you guys hear that? Steve, do you want me to play that again? I mean, did you guys hear that? His dream at Pfizer is to reduce the world population by 50% by 2023. You heard it. And they're applauding. They're applauding so loud. You even hear, you know, people hammering, okay? I'm going, what? you know, so that fits perfectly with, you know what I mean? Remember what Yuval Harari said, what, last week? I think I played it about how we're not important. You know, they're going to have us play video games or some stupid thing, right? Okay, instead of feeding us, well, as they're feeding us bugs, apparently, you know what I mean? Okay, last week, we were calling people out. And this week, I'm still feeling the remnants of it, and I can still see Melissa writing that in there, calling them out. Okay, and that is what I am, you know, okay? So I feel it. I know it. I feel it. It has to be done. And what a beautiful and honorable feeling to be able to follow through with a thought and a feeling as strong as that. It's something else. And I really wish it on people when you're that upset about the truth that you know that you have and it's being tossed and ripped apart. Okay. And it's a difference. I'm going to say it again. It's a difference between right and wrong, true and false. I'm sorry. Everybody has the right to say what they want to say. Yeah. But you go on the air or on a show and you say something that I know is false and that can easily be proven false and that is really harmful? No. You have to say something. Or you're just as dumb as the other animals, okay? That's how it is. And this is why I want to talk about getting it right. And I'm so glad. See, this is the good energies that line us up. This is why I thought we were going to have problems from the beginning again, because I have really good energies when I'm doing the show with Shake and Wake, with Annie, and with all of you. This is so important to share. It's called Tears of Knowledge, and it's something that I've been working on since, you know, this week, and it's been quite a bit longer than that, but it's a theory that I have. And, Steve, tell me what you think about it. I go 1 through 9, and the tiers, okay, they're levels, and I'm having fun with this. Tier 1, I don't have to say tier every time. You know what I mean. Tier 1 is denial, cognitive dissonance, period. Okay, I don't want to talk about it for some other reason, whatever. Tier 2, unknown. Okay, that's fine. You don't know about it. That's cool. Tier 3 goes, well, you know about it, but ... No, no, thank you. Tier 4 says, you know, wow, and you want to learn more. Uh-oh, okay, I want to learn more about this. Wow, this resonates with me, right? Tier 5 says, now you know, now you're researching, okay? Now it's deepening. Tier 6, knowing, and now you're standing behind. I'm sorry, it's like no, okay? Tier 7, knowing very well and defending with truths, with facts, with dates, with people's names. Tier 8 goes even worse than that. Knowing so well in your soul that you are willing to stand alone if need be, as Gandhi would say, alone in your convictions. Drum roll. Tier 9, you want to hear this? Knowing this is getting very close to Native American spirituality and what the warrior meant when there was such thing as a warrior, okay? Knowing and living your truth so well that you develop the quiet courage to have the will to die for it if need be, to protect it, and to honor it, because you are so little without it. Can you imagine? It's the exact opposite of the way we think today. Those in the know, right? They're standing alone. They're shaking their head like I am in amazement. You know, even Chris Vlar, a friend of mine that I had on the show once, he was saying like, why are we so few of us? Why is it just us reacting like this? Well, after the break, we are going to find out why. And, you know, there's no changing society. Oh, so what do? Well, we just stand by our truths. The more truths we know, the more we die alone with them because nobody's interested, Luca. So when we come back from the break, that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to ease our way into the ending of the Ernst Dundel clips. And I thank you so much for listening. And we'll be right back so I can wet my whistle as well.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back, everyone. We are back. And we are changing gears. So, we stand alone. Okay? All of us stand alone, shaking our heads in amazement. Remember that thing I shared with you about a 93-year-old man who wrote something 70 years ago about how you can't change the world? Anyway, I have it right in front of me, and let me read it to you, okay? It was given to me at coffee, all crumpled up, a little piece of paper, and I had to unfold it. And he wrote it 70 years ago when he was in his 20s. And it says, at this stage of our evolution, we are not capable of changing mass consciousness. We are an insane society rushing headlong to our own destruction. We are not only content with exterminating each other, but we are now bent on destroying all forms of life on this planet, as well as the critical life support systems. See, we know less than 1% of the crazed people that think that, you know, we're going to be happy eating bugs, as Moon says. No, thank you. I don't think so. Okay. So this is what I wanted to talk about, because we're getting close to, annihilation. I forget how you say that properly. And there's a hit list. Okay. I'm sitting here talking to my best friend about, you know, his time in the military. Okay. And he talks about the hit list, and it was like the hit list, you know. Yeah, Luca, you know, you're working for the CIA or FBI or whatever, you know. They send us into a country with a hit list. Guess who is on the top of the hit list? I would love to, you know, give you the names. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's say 5 things, 5 entities, and have you tell me what you think 1 through 5 would be. Okay. I'm going to save you the work. Hit list, okay? Guess what's number one to be erased first as people? Professors. Think about it. They educate, okay? This is coming from the Marines, okay? First on the hit list, professors, then artists. Independently minded, you know, like farmers that control food. Oh, you control the food, you control the food supply, right? Then the media, then the authors of fiction and nonfiction. Oh, then you only get into the heads of state and the military and stuff like that. Okay. So I said, hey, that's, you know, again, wow, that, you know, we're walking on the beach and I find something. It's like, wow, that resonates with me. You know, Luca found something. Hang on a second. What's that, Luca? Well, Germany's strengths. Think about it. The VW, oh, far better than and economical than anybody ever wanted. And the beautiful posters that they would make with the VW's face on it saying, encouraging people to save a few, you know, Reichsmarks and buy it. Okay. In flight, they had the airships already. They were making everybody look like idiots. They had alternative forms of motorization. They were the first and worldwide in science and medical, medical science and the medical industry also. It's like they can't have that. Okay, so what do? They go in at the same time as each country involved is involved in destroying Germany in their own way, just like they did with COVID for us, okay? This is how they learn. Oh, the people won't say anything. I had somebody say to me today, 5 years from now, Klaus even said it, and I told you the quote a few shows back. Klaus Schwab said, the test told us what we needed to know. The deaths will be slow, but consistent, and that'll be fine, right? 5 years from now, nobody will remember. The jab will have gone down the memory hole. I know it by heart. Okay? The hit list. The what? Okay. See, you don't even have to talk about Germany. You could talk about, didn't Churchill wanted to gas Ireland and Scotland as well? He hated those two. He hated them like the plague because they're indigenously minded. They're free-minded. Huh? No, got to get rid of that. Oh, okay. Why do you think Scotland and Ireland are having such a hard time or have had such a hard time? I got laughed at on the Scottish radio station when I started talking about the Native American plight for since the 1800s and the 1700s and maybe even 1492 or 1491. And he says it's been going on for thousands of years in Europe, Luca, with the Romans. Caledonia, So I'm really, really happy. If I didn't talk about this last week, I managed to share something and I didn't know who had written it. And I finally have the author now. So her name is Kendra Blewett from San Francisco. And this is where we change gears a little bit. I have to get this out because January 7th is Holocaust Memorial Day in Germany now. Meanwhile, Germany's efforts to criminalize Holocaust denial in the EU are increasingly coming up with resistance. I wonder why. Listen to what she has to say about the EU criminalizing Holocaust denial. Okay, making it a crime. Listen to this. She nails it, and I couldn't say it any better in 5 shows if I tried. This is a quote from her. The basic principle of free speech is that you have a right issuing from your dignity as a human being to say what you honestly think is true. No problem there. That's fine. Okay. She continues. Those who believe in the arguments of Holocaust revisionism meet this criterion. There is very good evidence behind these arguments, and those who support them are intellectually honest. They're not hateful propagandists. She continues, and then she hits the home run. If the EU makes Holocaust denial a crime, it makes itself a criminal against classical liberalism and the dignity of man. I love it. And you know what? So will you, I pray, because I'm putting in the link in the chat right there. Because I want you to see this, and what better moment than to share stuff when you're talking about it. Okay, so in the last few weeks, you have allowed me, and thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. We have allowed ourselves to, dive into just a 2-hour show that I was able to cut up into 4 clips of Ernst Zundel talking about everything from Auschwitz being a reconstruction that they're making money on with 500,000 people a year, and a chimney that isn't even attached to a building that was made after the war by Russia and Poland. Less than 12% of the people that died in Dachau less than 12% of Jews. I do believe that's what it was. Less than 12%. Yes. And in Auschwitz, less than 20,000 Jews had died there. And that's, no gassing. Sorry. Gas chambers didn't even exist. Okay. So why was Germany accused of World War I of gas chambers as well? They had to retract that. Okay. But this time they didn't. In World War II, they do it again. It's like people aren't reading their history. See what I said? Right? In 5 years' time, it'll go down the memory hole. This is what they do. We're not even talking about the seven countries in 5 years that were invaded, destroyed after 9/11, after the lie of 9/11. And that was allowed by the people because of this. It's so obvious to me now. Okay? The fictitious numbers of 6 million. Yeah. Going back to when? Okay. The Red Cross says less than 300,000. Okay, in all camps combined. What I wanted to do was just finish off with what would have happened if. Okay? What would have happened if? And I'm going to leave it there because this is too special. It's coming from the same person that we have allowed to listen to and enter our hearts. And I want to finish with that.
If Hitler had not come to Germany in 1933... Germany had 270,000 suicides the year before. Germany was, in Berlin, the sin capital of the world, thanks to largely Jewish entrepreneurs who ran the smut films and the cabarets and so on. Germany was dope capital for Europe. Germany was the sick man of Europe. German industry was virtually dead. German social welfare payments, for instance, in the state of Thuringia, were so horrendously high that they were 90% of that state's budget. Without Adolf Hitler, Germany would have died with a whimper in 1934 or 35, and the world wouldn't have given a shit. Okay, so Adolf Hitler saved Germany, and I am a child of Adolf Hitler. I would have never been born if my dad, my father, hadn't gotten a job thanks to the genius of Adolf Hitler. And millions of other Germans would have not been born, who today dump on Adolf Hitler. They deserve their miserable lives to this man who saved Germany, gave them work, bread, and honor for at least 12 years. So Germany at least didn't live on its knees or crawl on its belly for 12 years, like it has done since Adolf Hitler's demise. At least he gave the Germans 12 years of liberation and freedom. Now, you can immediately smirk and say, but what about all the concentration camps?
Yeah. See, and he talked about that, and he addressed that in there. So, you know, see, but you know by the timer going, because it's a 1996 tape, so you know, you see the timer on top, and you know by the timer, he's sitting there, yeah, you can smirk, you know, and say, well, what about he just finished talking about Auschwitz and Dachau, the place that was told that's where all the people, you know, the most people died. It's not even, you know, you can't even say that. So it's, and then there's Tova Friedman, you know, the person with the tattoo going on Fox News. Okay, we heard all that, right? So, you know what? I have a really good idea because as we talk about this, there's something else that makes a lot of sense. And I'm getting another drink of water and we'll be right back. It began with the forging of the great rings. Three were given to the elves, immortal, wisest, and fairest of all beings. Seven were given to the dwarf lords, the great miners and craftsmen of the mountain halls. And nine rings were gifted to the race of men who above all else desire power. For within these rings was bound the strength that will govern each race. But they were all of them deceived, for another ring was made in the land of Mordor and the fires of Mount Doom. The Dark Lord Sauron forged in a secret, a master ring to control all others. Huh? And into this ring he poured his cruelty, his malice, and his will. To dominate all life, one ring to rule them all. What does that sound like? That's J.R.R. Tolkien. And I knew that, like I know it now, when I heard that the first time, right out of Lord of the Rings. Okay. People say, well, I don't like movies. Well, wow. Okay. So I started thinking, you know, the world has changed. You know, the world is changing. You remember that one? I feel it in the water. I feel it in the earth. I feel it. I smell it in the air. Much that once was is lost. For none now live who remember it. See, there's all kinds of little hints in there. I could make a show on that. And it took me so long to write it out so that I could say it properly. It's old English. It's really cool. Much that once was is lost. For none now live who remember it. Okay? It's like he's telling us. And then there's the trees. And I, you know, I said to myself, Luca, you're not going to do a whole show on the trees, for God's sake, you know. but the trees, okay, the forest. So I'm sitting outside feeding the birds, and my buddy shows up. I got the French name, Moineau Domestique. That is a house sparrow, okay. The male house sparrow. He comes up within a foot of my feet looking at me, and I give him the bread, and he stays there and eats it while everybody else is terrified, right? And they're way back, and they're looking at him like, what are you doing? You're crazy, right? So now he's teaching everybody how to show up and how to eat with me, right? And I started writing, watching that. The world is changing. I can see it in the animals with the birds that I'm feeding and how aggressive they are. Between one another, how they fight for food, and they're hyper, and they're scared of me, most of them, and most humans too. I can't sit with somebody next to me or they vanish. I'm by myself at 6 o'clock and they show up. One person goes by, one person drives by, they scatter. This is what we have created, okay? And I literally had to say it out loud. It's okay. You know, you don't have to fight among you. There's plenty for everyone. And they all line up one after the other. You should see it. It's so adorable. I had 7 of them lining up one after the other. And I'm looking at Buddy that I give. Okay, I give him a piece of bread. They don't eat. They eat the crumbs first. Can you believe it? They're so clean. They eat the crumbs first around the big piece. And if they scatter different pieces because they're breaking the big piece up, they go after the small pieces first. Then they take off. You see them go to one beautiful house, a birdhouse. It's like a birdhouse apartment complex type of thing. Okay. Do you know how many babies you help feed by doing that? It just hit me today. And I sit there. The birdhouse is right in front of me. It's at a good 60, 70 yards, okay? But we can see each other. I see him come out of the birdhouse. You see him fly and fly and fly right over to me. If I can time it right, I throw my piece of bread and he catches it in midair or dances with it when it falls and goes to pick it up. The young ones are watching that and they're learning. And people come by me and look at me like, you know, oh, Luca's feeding the birds. You know? And they go out with their dog and they go and poop over the lawn, right? Great. Thanks a lot, right? Okay. So we have done that. I saw it right away. You know, like, you know, there's female birds especially. They look at you and they're terrified. I'm not going to go near you, you know, a little further away, you know? And I wanted to talk about the whole idea behind, you know, what would happen if you left your powers unchecked. Somebody comes up to you and says, you know, you can do anything you want. You're never going to be held responsible for anything. And this is a fact, okay? Never would anybody ever find out what you did, ever. Okay? Your carte blanche, okay? How low would you allow yourself to go? That's my question. I'm sitting there feeding the birds and I'm thinking of this at the same time, right? How low would you go? See? How low would the people in the EU go and they know that they would have the control over everyone, how low would they go to even suggest to have power over us? Can you imagine? Okay, just like Ernst Dundl said, the nerve of Israel to dictate German policy and to strap Germany with that paid reparations thing. That came from Israel, directly from Israel. Okay, we don't know that. I never heard that before Ernst Dundl said it. And he talks about the hypocrites at the B'nai B'rith really quickly. Whoa, you know, all kinds of little hints in there. If you don't believe me, go back and listen to those archived shows. And, you know, we'll talk about it again if you want me to. So the archive shows for me, thanks to Steve for, you know, saving them for me at cancelthecabal.net, which is his website. And Steve is being awful quiet again. He's doing it again. He's getting away with murder again. I don't believe it. I'm going to make him unmute and come
getting on. Getting away again. With murder? What do you mean?
Yeah, you're not talking again. You're getting away with it. You're not. You're silent. You're not saying anything. I got something. Yeah, have you heard of Pierre Gilbert? Pierre Gilbert, 1995.
No.
That's what I'm showing on the screen right now. Have you heard of him?
Nope.
This is where I'm going with this, because I've always said, okay, I've always said that power doesn't corrupt everybody. Okay, if Steve got a whole lot of money all of a sudden, if Annie got a whole lot of money, or anybody on the chat, if we got a whole lot of money all of a sudden, we wouldn't sit on it or do anything corrupt or start bossing people around or, you know, doing negative. No, it would be an extension of ourself, an extension of our goodness. That's how I see it. Okay, what did I just ask? How low would you go? How low would your morals, you know, what kind of a moral compass do you have, right? Pierre Gilbert writes in 1995, I'm going to try and say this because this is hard English. This is like complicated for me. In the biological destruction, there are organized tempests on the magnetic fields. What will follow is a contamination of the bloodstreams of mankind, creating intentional infections. This will be enforced via laws that make vaccination mandatory, and these vaccines will make it possible to control people. These vaccines will have liquid crystals. Okay, this is 1995. These vaccines will have liquid crystals that will become hosted in the brain cells, which will become micro receivers of electromagnetic fields where waves of very low frequencies will be sent. And those through those low frequency waves, people will be able to think, people will be unable to think, and you'll be turned into a zombie. This is not a hypothesis. Think it has been done. Try Rwanda. Steve, is that an agreement or a laugh? I'm not sure.
I didn't. I was looking at something else. Sorry.
Oh, whatever noise that was. Okay, I was wondering if you were laughing or not. So I'm going, you know, they thought of this in 1995. They suggested it. Think of Rwanda. That's how they finished it. You'll turn into a zombie. Don't think of this as a hypothesis. This has been done. Think of Rwanda. Liquid crystals that will become hosted in the brain cells. I mean, this is, again, what are they doing? They are capitalizing. Oh, I got to write that down. They are capitalizing on our ignorance. Capitalizing, exactly what the word I was looking for, on our ignorance. Because, you know, they're playing with us, and then they find ways to tell us and we don't catch it. Oh, well, that's okay, because it's on us now. We just have to be smart enough, and they know that most of us aren't. So that's how they're playing with us in all those different fields. So, you know, well, I'm thanking everybody already because they're saying great show already. It's cute, you know. So I'm going to finish with my slides, okay, because they mean a lot to me, and I'm going to start with my favorite one. And then we'll go to weather warfare for a second. But, Steve, I got to show you this one. This is for Steve and I so we can look at it. J.R.R. Tolkien, you know what he says? Every tree has an enemy. Few have an advocate. In all of my works, I take the part of trees against all their enemies. And I think he was talking about man when he was saying that. Okay? Steve, what you're looking at here, oh, it went up. Okay. 129 confirmed tornadoes in the Midwest. Uh-huh. Okay. 14 or something in one weekend in Iowa by itself, where we are. We have a solid red line coming right this way between 2 or 3 o'clock this morning, coming up tonight. Red line, okay? These lines, you know what I mean? Like they're dark red with white. They look nasty. They look like fire crawling along and leaving, you know, leaving traces behind. It's not normal. It's not natural. That's, you know, what my instinct says. It's artificial. It's HAARP or whatever you call it. It's, you know, you look outside and there's the ionosphere heating with the little tiny waves in the clouds high, high up. Give me a break. You know, you can feel that they're playing. And the weather, like, you know, look at the weather network. All you have to do is turn it on. Unbelievable, okay? And, you know, like, people's IQ must have dropped a little bit since Otis. You know, that turns from Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. It was a tropical storm, and it turns into a Cat 5, 207.9 miles an hour, as it destroys all Acapulco, okay, at midnight, and then just disperses. Oh, okay. You know? My message to everybody until next week, in the 3 minutes that I have, be scared and do it anyway. Remember? Be unqualified, Luca, and get in the room anyway. Okay? Be messy, be imperfect, be unsure, but show up anyway, and people will correct you. Everybody in the chat will either congratulate you or whip your butt. I think exposing is what we do best, as Annie was saying. Comfort is the enemy of growth, Luca. Get uncomfortable. Right. Steve, thank you again for your time. I'm not going to thank you for being quiet, because that really is starting to upset me more and more. I'm going to have to make a narration where I have actual questions for this guy and not tell him and then throw it on him. Okay. That way he'll be able to talk a bit more, but thank you for everything you're doing, Steve, and for everybody. Love you all. And we'll see you next week. I think I timed that pretty good. And remember that about the ring of power. And about how each one of us has a choice, you know, to donate also to Shake and Wake Radio. Hit the button, hit the donate button, and make sure that it still stays alive as long as it can. As long as we are here, it will stay alive, okay? I'm part of the family now. That's it. So thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Creator willing.